Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 173, episode 2 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Tuesday, February 23rd, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Ted Cruz. The coward is he ran off to Cancun. He got shamed, hopped on a plane. Boy, what a goon. We'll talk about it today with Jack OB and Miles of Gray. We're giving Ted Cruz shit on TDZ. That is courtesy of Ben Acosta, wannabe author. Is that what we're called? Yeah. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
It's Miles Gray, a.k.a. Spliffany number 9 in G major movement 420, a.k.a. John Cage's 4 minutes and 20 seconds, a.k.a. Gold Rinse of Arabia, a.k.a. Hey, Jackie, it's me, your cousin. Yeah, your cousin, Milesy Grazy. You know that new sound you've been looking for? Well, listen to this.
Whoa! Okay. Actual
and
bong
that is some prop work there. Shout out to Carl Lobo on Discord. I actually wrote in bong bubble noises for the sound you've been looking for. And I love a good, you know, Back to the Future reference.
Back to the Future. What was his name again? It was
Marvin.
Marvin?
Wasn't it Marvin Berry?
Marvin Berry?
Yeah.
The fact that works. I mean, it doesn't work. Like, it's bad, but it's also like when you watch it, you're not like, what the fuck is happening right now?
I mean, you do it. I think it's like with adult eyes, you're like, damn.
Yeah.
Or once you like start writing yourself or entering that kind of business, you're like, what was the thought process there? Like, we gotta make sure this one does not escape them.
Shit. Miles, great to have you back.
Oh,
yes, great to see you. And thank you for having me. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious, the talented Mr. Vince Mancini.
There he is.
Oh, great to be here. You know, Marvin, just it's like a really good cousin name, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Marv.
Cousin Marvin.
Yeah. Right. And then Marvin gets his head blown off in Pulp Fiction.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's an unfortunate name, too, sometimes. It's like, you're never, where's the hero, Marvin? The
right.
Martian? I mean, you know, maybe.
It just sounds like a roustabout. Oh, it's Marvin. Here he comes.
Right. Oh, man. Do you think that scene had rewrites where the Marvin Berry scene, like, first they tried to be like, why don't we just do subtle, like, hey, Chuck, it's me. You know that sound you've been looking for? Well, here it is. And people were like, wait, well, that was a Chuck Berry song. They said, Chuck, that's enough. Or did they go, it's got to be.
It's Marvin? Well, the fact that he says Marvin Berry, like, it's... If he had just said, it's your cousin, Marvin Berry, that would have been one thing.
Or your cousin plus first name.
Right. Yeah. But you know then you wouldn't know the Chuck Berry thing.
Right. I'm thinking also the reality of how you would speak. You know, it's like the delicate interplay of what's real and how you get the message across to the audience. Because I'm never like, hey, it's your cousin, bro. Your cousin, Miles Gray. Unless it's like an elderly cousin who like may be struggling with memory.
Especially if it's one of your cousins with the same last name as you.
Exactly.
Well, it implies that Chuck Berry has a lot of cousins that are always trying to sell him on stuff and pitch him different things. Yeah, that's true.
Right.
That's the movie I want to see, the unscrupulous Barry cousins.
Vince, what's
all right, let's get
I was just gonna say, I feel like this is the process of figuring out that all my favorite movies are made for children and I'm a 40-year-old man. But Vince, what's new with you? What's going on, man?
Oh, not much. Just, you know, I had a birthday yesterday and...
HBD.
Yeah.
HBD.
And it's great. It's great to have a birthday and now it's over and I can just enjoy the rest of the year.
Oh, so for you, you're like one of these lucky motherfuckers who had a birthday before the pandemic and now it's only biting you in the ass now. Because last year you probably had a whole ass birthday, right?
Yeah, last year, I can't remember. I'm old enough that I don't remember exactly what we did on my birthday last year, but I think it was good. Yeah.
Right. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Pandemic birthday. Something you thought of? Underrated.
Like, will the pandemic be over for my birthday? You know, because that was a thing in the summer. I felt like a lot of people were thinking about for the fall. They're like, dude, if the pandemic's still happening for my birthday. I mean, not that you think like that, but I think it enters everyone's mind as a goalpost in time.
Yeah. I mean, we're like, it's going to be over by Memorial Day. So we can go out and have
have a proper 3-day weekend, man.
Yeah.
I've talked to you, Miles, specifically about how I think that the pandemic is specifically a punishment for me because I have a July birthday and like you couldn't have really made it any more central.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And for all the blaming of like Trump and his policies, let's not get carried away. I think this whole pandemic was based the some kind of karmic spite against Jack.
Yeah,
and that's why we're all suffering.
Yeah, I mean, it's why I'm always shouting when we're not recording. Why do bad things happen to good people? It's not
fair. As he has that Nancy Kerrigan tape over.
Why? All right,
that was an underrated strange reaction to that. Like, who does that happen to? It's not just like, ow, my leg, go get that person. But why me? Why couldn't this happen to someone else?
Why me?
Oh man.
Poor thing.
That was one of the first times I made an adult laugh was right around that time. I think it was about 93, right?
Yeah.
And I was in third grade. And there was one of the kids in class, someone was crying about like they got in trouble and they had to like, you know, you do like red light, green light shit. Oh, that's a red light. And this girl was like, why me? And I was like, okay, Nancy Kerrigan. Ah. And my teacher was like, got him. Wow. They're like, sign this motherfucker up now. And none of the kids understood. And only the teacher understood. And I was like, okay, I'm Nancy. The fucking goat.
Jay.
I'm the Richard Pryor of this elementary school.
It's your cousin, Marvin Leno. Have I got the joke writer for you?
Hey, what are you, Nancy Kerrigan? Oh! Smoking the ciggy around my head like Dice Man.
All right, Vince, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. Sure. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're going to talk about that Wall Street Journal op-ed from the Johns Hopkins physician who believes that we might be seeing the end of COVID, which, you know, yeah.
Don't say that now. Don't.
I know. Well, that's what he's basically saying, that the medical community is like, don't curse it. just shut up.
That like, seems cool.
All the takes did feel like that because everyone was saying like, the numbers are incredible, but don't fucking look at the numbers, asshole.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
This is what happened last fucking summer. Like, yeah.
So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about, I've been publicly on this show dreading Trump's return, assuming it would be like some carefully choreographed, you know, World Wrestling Federation, like emerges from the spotlights like he did at the RNC. But apparently it happened last week and just a lot of people didn't notice. So we'll talk about that. Talk about the Supreme Court telling him fuck off. We'll talk about Mike Lindell. We got a lot to talk about today. Most importantly, Taco Bell has entered the fight, the crispy sandwich wars fight. So we'll talk about all of that, plenty more. But first, Vince, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I searched ET hoodie. Because I was, you know, scrolling through some old friends on Instagram and we were passing around in the group chat. You know, when you got like a friend that you don't talk to, but mostly you just make fun of them in group chats with other people.
Yeah, they're group chat fodder. Their Instagram is group chat fodder. Yep. I have somebody who has a real brolic doll collection and a lonely doctor who we always speculate what their life's about.
Yeah. So wait, I got one of those and there was like one of those real, you know, vague book. We call them vague books. I forget which one of my comedian friends came up with that. Whenever people are sad and they just like write vague platitudes online, vague booking. And they're in like a blanket looking very forlorn. And it reminded me of E.T. And I was trying to find the E.T. picture to compare it to. And then I Googled E.T. hoodie. Only to realize that E.T. wasn't wearing a hoodie. It was actually just like his blanket, to keep warm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like Mandela affected myself, I think.
Yeah.
I hope that friend heard this podcast. Like, dude, Vince thought E.T. was wearing a fucking hoodie.
So did you picture in your mind E.T. wearing the red hoodie that Elliot wears? You
exactly.
Did?
Wow. That's exactly what I did. Well, I did. Yeah.
I'm trying to picture that right now. Huh.
E.T. hoodie is like a whole vibe, though. Like, if E.T. rocked a hoodie, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, with his hands in the pockets.
What's up with him?
Yeah.
Like, selling Molly and shit.
Yeah. Whereas you can pull off the red hoodie. You cannot pull off the blanket wrapped around your head and then, like, tied at your chest without people being like, yo, man, is everything right. All right?
Yeah. Because remember, there's even that tweet that we liked that was like, yo, I took my kid brother to Target. And it was just like a little kid in a big ass down coat, and it just looked like a coat was walking around.
Oh, see, yeah. Like,
even that shape was less suspicious to me. I'm like, oh, it's a kid in a coat. But you get, because that could have been E.T., and I wouldn't have batted an eye because I'm used to that. But some kid in a blanket like that, I'm like, no, that's some kind of terrestrial being.
What is something, Vince, that you think is underrated?
Half hour TV shows. I feel like we don't get them very often anymore. But man, when we do, it's great. You just bust through them without falling asleep. Love it.
What's the last good half hour, you think?
I'm going to say Ted Lasso.
Okay.
Man. I really need to watch Ted Lasso.
It doesn't seem like it would be a half hour episode show, and then it is, and then you know, you end up watching more of it, but I love those half hour chunks.
Yeah. I started watching it, but I only had a free preview of Apple TV because I had an Apple Watch that had 6 months or something that I remembered at the last minute that I had like a week left. Didn't get through all of it, but I really did. I started seeing what everybody says about it. Like, it's just pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's weird, like, because it's funny, but also at the same time, I'm like, nah, like, it's like that one teacher who's like class, like you would behave in for some reason, like had that energy over me. I'm like, no. I don't misbehave in this class for some reason.
Yeah. On paper, you're like, oh, this is a really terrible Disney concept where like the uplifting American goes to England and teaches everybody an important lesson about positive thinking.
Right.
And it kind of is that, but it's good somehow. And it's hard to figure out why.
Right.
How That's do people like, in the UK feel about Ted Lasso?
I don't know.
That's a great question.
I'd be interested.
Ted Lasso UK review from the Independent. Ted Lasso review. Jason Sudeikis is a hapless football coach in this likable, if uneven, comedy. Hey, 4 stars.
All right.
4.
I love that. That's okay. Like the that's one of the that's a lazy critic move when you call something uneven without saying what you right. what was wrong with it. It's like B plus.
Oh, give that okay. vague, but it's book. Uneven. I won't tell you in what ratios, but uneven nonetheless.
Right. Just keep it vague. Probably a reflection of how you were feeling at the time. Maybe the fact that you were watching it while you were like stopping and starting, going on walks, maybe.
Oh, no. Mm. It only looks uneven because you got your wallet in your back pocket, man.
That's right. I just watched I May Destroy You. That's another one that's like a prestige show that is in half-hour episodes for the most part. I think it's all half hour.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I watched that too. Another good half hour.
Yeah, great half hour show.
Definitely different vibes.
yeah.
So for sure. But it's also Matt. Like, but I think that's where like you got to give it up to Michaela Cole, that show, because the way the subject matter that they navigate through the show while still not having it's balanced in this very like just elegant way. That I was like, damn, this is what that writing shit's about, huh?
Gotta
get it even like that. That's what that balance
exactly.
is about.
Right. Somebody was writing with pockets unencumbered by wallets.
What is something you think is overrated?
Awards movies that are based on plays. I feel like there's a lot, you know, and I hate when you're watching a movie and then you have that thought like, oh, this is definitely based on a play, wasn't it? And then,
right.
Yeah.
Like, what's a movie like that? Because look, Vince, you watch a lot of films, you know, truth be known, you're a bit of a critic yourself. But yeah, like what's a film that that does that? Because I'm also completely ignorant to like the theater scene and that.
I can't remember if it's actually based on a play or if it's just because Aaron Sorkin wrote it and he's like a playwright. But Trial of the Chicago 7, you're definitely watching that movie going, oh yeah, this is definitely like, this is a play. This isn't
this
really
on
a
stage.
Movie. Yeah.
Right.
And then One Night in Miami was definitely a play. There's a lot of just hanging out in a hotel room for like way too long.
Right.
Yeah. I like it when people move around and go play, especially in this day and age. You know, it's nice to see people going places, doing things, and not being in the same room talking at each other.
And just the most action you see is like someone getting up to pour like a snifter of brandy just to sit back down.
Anything you can do while you're about to have an important conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Vince, did you see Nomadland?
I did.
That's kind of the opposite. Like nothing really. There's no like dramatic arc or like no dramatic conversations where people are like disagreeing about stuff, but very, very pretty. Lots of stuff happening in the background.
Yeah, you'd need a real nice like vista backdrop on stage if you're going to do that one.
Just like the rolling hills.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Zeit gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, I'm home.
Everyone knows that it's Dad's job to be a bit of a joker.
Sorry I'm late, everyone. There was an accident at the factory. Monty fell into the upholstery machine. Don't worry, though. He's fully recovered.
Good one, Dad.
Did you get the pizza for dinner?
So he likes to keep everyone happy with some dad jokes.
Yep, right here. I had a coupon, and it saved me a lot of dough.
Well, the truth is, Dad is just a fun guy.
Hey, I'm not a mushroom.
Please stop. Where does he get these stupid jokes from?
He listens to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast.
Oh, great. More dad jokes for me.
We've delivered over 15,000 jokes to over 3 million listeners, and man, the postage fees are killing us. Listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And so I wanted to talk real quick. This is one that my parents were like, did you see this thing in the Wall Street Journal? Like, they're excited.
Jay Leno.
Trying to figure out a time they can get out and see the grandkids.
Right.
So this Johns Hopkins physician, this is actually kind of a follow-up on a story that we've been talking about, sort of the mystery drop in COVID cases over the last 6 weeks, where scientists were like, it can't be the vaccine yet. People definitely aren't improving their behavior in any way. And so this dude's theory is that it is based on herd immunity, essentially. And so one of the things that we heard in the very early stages of COVID, and I think one of the reasons this isn't getting as much play, is there were scientists out of Stanford who were like, we should just do the herd immunity thing because it's not as deadly as people think. So just let it rip, essentially. Yeah. And that was something that Trump was saying behind the scenes. And, 500,000 deaths later, turns out that was not a good thing to even suggest, to even throw out there, because, that was just what the conservatives and libertarians were like dying to. That was their sort of natural state would be, let's just do it that way.
Let it play out. You do you, I'll do me. Yeah. Until it gets to me, and then I'm going to cry about it and ask why you didn't help me.
Yeah. And this doctor, whose name I will mention in a second once I look it up, but they were saying that, like, the last paragraph is some medical experts privately agreed with my prediction that there may be very little COVID-19 by April, but suggested that I not talk publicly about herd immunity because people might become complacent, fail to take precautions, or might decline the vaccine, which, yeah, I mean, I totally understandable that people would think that. I do think that, like, it's valuable to have this point of view out there so that people can see some light at the end of the tunnel, or at least have an understanding of, like, what people think might be happening.
I don't know if Americans understand light at the end of the tunnel, though.
Right.
They're like, light! And they think they're out of the tunnel. Like, that's right. The problem here. But yes, I mean, it's like, it's almost like some people you know are responsible enough to hear this story and take right. from that what they came like, okay, this it feels like this is it really we're seeing that this is a finite event and it won't drag on forever. Other people I know are going to be running up and down the halls, dude, it's basically gone. Like, right. there are people who are just going to read this and say it's basically gone. No,
right.
It's not. It's going down. But the way we're getting here, please don't forget the fucked up way we got to this point. Right. I mean, I don't think I'll feel good until I'm vaccinated. Like, that's the only thing that would even begin to change how I would alter, like, my behavior or anything, is to know, like, oh, I'm at least now medically beginning to be safeguarded, rather than just sort of counting on, like, probability to be like, yeah, fuck it, dude. I'm just going to the gym now. Just fucking breathing on everything.
Yeah, I think part of the calculus of April is that, like, the vaccine plan continues to move forward. It's not like, and this will magically go away by then. It's that enough people will be vaccinated, like, combined with the number of people who have had it and have, like, built up the immunity without really showing symptoms or, like, contributing to the overall numbers that people have been working with.
After this past year, it's, like, hard for me to listen to any sort of predictions, because everything we've had is just, like, back right. and forth. I'm like, just tell me what to do tomorrow and then we'll go from there. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. And that's probably a good, like, way to think about our own lives, you know, is that, like, we're just gonna hunker down until we find out, like, exactly what is happening, and not make any big decisions before things have actually changed, like, on the ground. But
yeah,
I mean, when they tell you when you get the vaccine and they're like, all right, well, this doesn't mean you can change your behavior in any way, and you're kind of like, you feel like that's probably just something they have to say so that we don't all go, like, buck wild immediately.
Right, absolutely.
Right.
Because I even think, like, I have a friend who's a nurse and has completed their vaccinations. And, like, even subconscious, like, oh, damn, then we can kick it then, because I'm not going to be a danger to them and they're not going to be a danger to me or whatever. And I'm like, wait, hold the fuck up. And I was just like, no, see, this is how that runaway train shit goes of, like, because I know how it's also it's such an attractive proposition to try and figure out what the margins are statistically, if you can get away with shit. But, like, you know, we need to sort of normalize this idea, make regular to most people this idea that, like, you don't, like, we want to be as safe as possible. But
yeah, I mean, I think it's just the maintain your same behavior, I think, is just a way to not have to, like, card everybody at the entrance to any store or restaurant or whatever. Like, we're trying not to get into a situation where people are like, well, I had the vaccine, so I can do whatever I want.
Right.
And then have other people, like, trying to verify it with proof. It's way easier to just be like, you know what? Just keep wearing the mask for a while longer and then we'll be good.
Until later. People I know in healthcare say, you know, it's I don't have night terrors anymore from the shit that I'm seeing, you know?
Right.
Then I'll be like, okay, well, maybe based on that, based on the people who have to deal with our behavior, then I can pivot a little bit. I wonder what the over-under is on when this op-ed is going to be fucking bandied about by, like, open it all type folks who are just trying to say, like, this guy just said it. It's done in April. So we need to start planning now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a short enough op-ed, and the, like, half of it is the person being like, this doesn't mean that you should do basically what you just come described on, that come hopefully
on. We're not hearing that when doctor says that. I'm like, but you said yeah. It might be over in April. Yeah, but I'm saying okay, sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
But April, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably the short answer is it probably already is being bandied about by right. My parents, like in particular.
Or something
yeah. By the pro getting to visit the grandkids lobby. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, big grandkid. Oh, yeah, exactly. Strikes again.
You mean, yeah. Honey, I blew up the kid?
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Trump's big return to the spotlight. He came out guns blazing on Fox News last week. Yeah, I didn't. So it was basically ostensibly because of the death of Rush Limbaugh. and he went on to a bunch of different shows on Newsmax and OANN and Fox News to talk about like Rush Limbaugh's legacy. You know, he came out talking about how, you know, he claimed 10 times that the election was stolen from him. And he spent like an hour on Hannity. And
I'm just going to say it, like, Donald Trump doesn't seem like a guy who'd be very good at somberly reflecting on another man's life.
Yeah, know, they're like, right? This is the way to bring him back.
Or turning into some petty dick measuring contest where he's like, well, you know what? I was actually more racist than Rush. So right. Really think about it. Yeah. He actually got it from me, his whole swag.
Yeah, I mean, he did, you know, use Rush to be like, and I spoke with Rush at the end, and he said he believed the election was stolen. So, you know.
Oh, God.
Of course he did.
Let's honor this dying goblin's wishes.
Right, right.
And believing this
dead game. Or living people to Trump are only just like props to get him what he wants. Ever. Yeah. So,
of course.
You should have seen it. I was in a dream. The Constitution awoke and spoke to me and said, it's all yours, baby. And
on his deathbed, Rush said, Graydon Carter was very unfair to me.
That's why Spy Magazine went under.
Yeah. His obsession with like bitchy New York media feuds is one of the underrated things that I feel like the fact that there's a bunch of people in the middle America who have like cheered and been like, fuck Graydon Carter. It's pretty amazing. One of the great surreal aspects of his rise to power. But so the main takeaway is that he did an interview with Sean Hannity, primetime Fox News. Apparently it drew like fine ratings, but it wasn't even the most watched show of the evening. Tucker Carlson's show even had higher ratings than like Trump's first post-election interview leaving the office interview. So I don't know. Again, this is another like very cautiously optimistic story where I'm like, I don't want to take this to mean that he can't like engineer some other great comeback, but it's just a positive sign, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what CPAC's for, because right. that's where I think he's got the whole Beyonce homecoming stage show planned out. Because that's right. going to be a big audience of people who, you know, are going to just want to watch him dry hump the flag and scream at Clanchella. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see what he does there. But I think like the thing is like everything he's saying is like just stale. And now that you're out of office, it's like you sound like you're campaigning against Joe Biden again.
Right. Well, I mean, it's the whole like it's funny that it started with Rush Limbaugh's death, because like once upon a time, Rush Limbaugh was like the straight talking conservative guy who's going to tell, you know, Joe Sixpack or whatever exactly what he wanted to hear. And then like that wasn't, you know, at a certain point, like that lost its shine. And then we got Trump and like Fox News. And then you see Trump going on Fox News and like the ratings aren't that good because Fox News is not giving people like the straight shot of like QAnon adrenaline that you're going to get. Like they're old hat now. Like they can't give people that shot of dopamine the way that they once were able to.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little jumbled. I feel like it would be confusing for a Fox News viewer. Like I do feel like you can look at some of the ratings and I think AP was pointing out that
on like Fox News's audience during the impeachment when it was the prosecution like presented, or the impeachment managers presenting their case. They had like shot like super duper low ratings, 815,000. And then when Trump's lawyers came back and offered up their defense, it doubled to 2.21 million. So I do feel like it's, they know what they're looking for. And they also know what they don't, like the part of reality they don't want to let in. Yeah. So
that's like watching, that's like me watching a Laker game when I don't care, like we lost to the Clippers, but I'm just watching all, I'm watching all the times the Lakers scored in a supercut. And that's right. How I watch the game. And I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, LeBron. Oh, shit. What was the final score? 140 to 82? Okay. But you, did you see, you know, like, it's like, what are you doing? You know, on some level, like, you have to understand that you know you're safeguarding yourself because you don't want to see the other thing. Where other people, you know, if you're a little trying to be somewhat more objective, you're like, well, no, I want to see this bullshit and also the other bullshit, and I will sift through the bullshit.
Yeah, it's like the Fox News is like chicken soup for racist boomers. And so then they show anything else that's not flattering their worldview. It's like, you know, when McDonald's serves salad or whatever, they're not going to.
Right.
You're like, what's the point? Why is this here?
Love the McSalad shaker, though.
I mean, but a positive way that you could take it is that they recognize that some bad shit they don't want to admit happened on January 6th. And like, so they're avoiding that like the plague, and that would involve which, by the way, they're not good at avoiding plagues, but that would involve, like, you know, not trying to hear Trump speak that much, at least right now. Yeah. While he hasn't come up with a new angle. It's a normal collar.
Wait till he drops that mixtape at CPAC.
Right. Yeah.
The Donald Trump of your nightmares will emerge, Jack.
Yeah, can't wait.
I'm so curious where they go. Like, I mean, Donald Trump seemed like the perfect Frankenstein's monster of all their worst impulses, but he also made every other like mainstream Republican at that point look really bad and lame. And I don't know. I guess like the next step is like Lauren, whatever the QAnon Congress people are now. You know, whoever seems like the more intense, uncut version of Trump.
MTG, yeah. Baby.
I mean, this is another thing. Yeah. I mean, this piece I was reading in the New Republic, who is it by? Oh, by there's this piece in the New Republic by Alex Shepard that's kind of talking about how the GOP playbook is just kind of like faltering a bit. Not a bit, a lot. Like right now, they're doing the 2009 playbook on Biden's pandemic stimulus, which is scream about how much money is being wasted and like, oh my God, you're going to help losers over winter. Right. Cause that's what they did in 2009. They're like, these people who went over their skis on these subprime mortgages, they're losers, y'all. They fucked up. That's on them. And that was sort of like the attitude, even like it wasn't very humane look on the people who were got into these fucked up mortgages. And now like it's the same thing. It's just, oh my God, these losers they don't deserve money. So then they can do the whole thing of like water down the stimulus, which means a shitty recovery because the stimulus wasn't effective at all. Then blame the Democrats for the lack of anything improving. Take the House and then hopefully just repeat that pattern until you're in the White House again, like they try to do. But it seems like now the austerity shit just doesn't hit, especially after Trump and like the in-your-face tax fuckery that was going on with giving rich people more money and things like that. And now with the pandemic, like even like, yes, there are definitely, America's definitely team bootstraps, but there are definitely also people who are team bootstraps that are also kind of like, yo, my bootstraps even vanished somehow. So I'm going to need help. And I don't like this idea that you're calling me a loser because I'm not a fucking loser. And so even like the language is like changing a bit, and they just don't have anything to offer. Like Steve Scalise is just calling this, in his description of the stimulus package, he just says, this package will keep schools closed, bail out blue states, pay people not to work, and raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Okay. Right. Like, but, and what's your counterpoint? They don't fucking have one anymore because they've just like, they've turned up the racism so much that they cooked off all the like optical parts that made it look like a party. And now right. it's just like, y'all, we're just honestly, we don't have any ideas. We're just, all we have to offer are cancel culture battles that we'll scream about. And really nothing else aside from tax cuts. So I don't know what to do. And now, yeah. like, it's like now, and now, like, to your point, Vince, like, then we just now, the people that are getting clicks are Lauren Boebert with her homemade gun rack on her bookshelf that's not mounted at all. She could have fell over.
I know.
You know, like, that's
The old school way to do it was like to do the racism stuff to justify, you know, giving money to more rich people. But then Trump kind of broke that a little bit where he was like, well, I'm still going to be racist, but I'm also going to give you $600 or whatever, you know? And so like they kind of broke the part where all the white nationalism stuff was openly like a way to, you know, get people to give more money to rich people. And now it's kind of broken. So it's hard to tell what they're going to now. It's hard to go from that back to, oh, this deficit.
Yeah, responsibility.
But I mean, that's happening. I feel like that's happening in both parties, right? Like Trump was trying to, or said he was trying to do the $2,000 thing on his way out. Romney is doing a bill that gives better child tax credits than currently exist. And, you know, there's a lot of populist economic movement in the Democratic Party, but like both sides, I feel like, are having this moment where they have to, like, you know, safeguard the party and the rich and the ruling class from what's in people's best interest.
Because it's almost like either side hasn't learned their lesson from fucking 2009, which for the Republicans, it's like, this shit isn't going to work right now. And then for Democrats, they're like, do we need to work? I think we need to work with Republicans on this. I think we don't want to just unilaterally help people. We need the visions of a bipartisan Congress. And it's like, motherfucker, no. They fucking voted to basically have you killed in a lynch mob at your place of business. Right. And you're still okay, but go ahead.
They're like permanently hamstrung by thinking they need to get an A from the teacher. Like they spent the last year being like, you got to trust the experts. And so now that they're like in power, in the ruling power, they're still asking like random, you know, experts or whatever on like what we can actually do for the stimulus instead of just giving people money, which was what they campaigned on and would be like the obvious choice at this
point. Except when the experts are like, no, you got to give them more money than that, Joe. And he's like, well, shut the fuck up for a second. I just did that to say I asked somebody. Now fucking fall back. Are you fucking economist?
Real quick, the Supreme Court continues to reward Trump's having three of them nominated by telling him to go fuck himself, essentially, which is, you love to see it.
Yeah. I don't think there wasn't one dissenting opinion when the Supreme Court basically said, we're not going to hear any case trying to block his tax returns from the New York district attorney. So,
right.
And it apparently was like a one, it was described as a terse one liner. So, great. Which is basically being like, yeah, nah to this presidential immunity shit. Cy Vance can have your fucking tax returns. Because it started, this was a lawsuit that was filed in 2019, which was like looking into Karen McDougal and Stormy Daniels' hush money payments. And then when Trump was like, you can't do that, no fair, blah, blah, blah. He came back and was like, look, this is what we're arguing. Clearly he's seeking like immunity that doesn't exist. And like, okay, you can let it bang. And Cy Vance like, oh, one more thing. The investigation, we're looking at some more stuff now, including bank fraud and insurance fraud. So we're going to need some tax returns. And that finally, we've ended up at this point where now there's no more hands to be played. And they will get, I think, at least the tax returns from 2011 on.
So. Also, who is his lawyer? I feel like the person who was his lawyer during the election drama said on Twitter that John Roberts was part of some pedophile ring where he was like forced to like rape and kill a child on video And then I hope that that is the same lawyer that's trying to petition that Supreme Court.
He was smart enough to not have that person there, but also dumb enough to not realize what's being argued on your behalf in Washington, D.C. right now.
Also, interestingly, and not surprisingly, Ghislaine Maxwell, over the weekend, it was reported that she confirmed that Epstein had video of both, I think, Clinton and Trump, that like compromising video, basically.
Huh.
Oh,
really?
Shocking.
Wow.
But yeah, it's not, I mean... So Trump's lawyer was right about one thing that John Roberts has killed on videotape before.
I mean, the country needs that political catharsis to be like, look at these ugly monster motherfuckers that were smiling in your face being like, I'm the president. You
right.
know what I mean? Like, tear them all fucking down. Like, that's what, but it's still fucking, you know, like, it'll still just end up this like question mark of like, were there tapes? Is it apparently it's not enough that they were best fucking friends and right. on plenty of receipts on being on the lowly. Forget it. Whatever. All right. Y'all do you. It's clearly not enough.
He's a very cool guy who I hear likes the ladies.
But not me. I like the women.
What?
Adult. So,
okay, so real quick, I do want to talk about these Texas regulators and Texas power executives. I think one CEO was caught saying that this was basically a jackpot. They had hit the jackpot with this crisis that led people to actually freeze to death or die trying not to freeze to death. Because they are now able to charge like five figures for people's use of electricity during the crisis.
That was the big, everybody saw those pictures, you know, like those screenshots that were like, yo, my bill is $6,000 or my bill's $13,000 electric bill. Okay. I don't know what the fuck is going on. I opened up my app and it said, this is where I'm at right now. And again, we've been saying this fucking deregulation because this is the, you know, literally the Wild West over there. A lot of these people were lured into these pricing plans that are tethered to like the wholesale price of electricity. So essentially, it can be a good deal when shit works. But the thing is, in the fine print, it's like, oh, just so you know, if anything deviates from perfect energy transmission, your bill will be absolutely fucked, just so right. you know. And that's when people started being like, oh, what the fuck is going on here? And so there are so many of these pictures going around. A lot of it too, they're saying, is some of these people who were getting higher bills, it was born out of the supply and demand relationship where an energy generation company, because of the grid failure, wasn't able to get power to certain customers. They just upped the price on the people that could get power to offset right. So you're like, oh my, what the fuck is this? Again, because there are no regulations. They used to be about guaranteeing power delivery and things like that, or ensuring that things are weatherproof to maintain some stable energy generation. And then they just went to, nah, our policy is now, let the fucking market go off, honey. And that's right. what
like
you got.
Like as if you had a choice in who you were going to buy electricity from. And like, you know, as if you had a say where you're like, well, this electricity is too expensive. I'm just going to turn everything off today.
Well, that's but that's what it is, though. You can pick from a myriad of providers. You know, like you can shop sure. around for your best deal. That's why it's so like, they're like, what the fuck kind of structure is this for a public utility?
Right.
And the whole thing is like, nah, but that's how we keep the competition. Cause like, yo, if their price is too high, someone will just go to the other one. And that's how you keep it moving. But no.
Like, you could just build your own electrical grid if you don't like those prices.
But Vince, that's the advice people were getting when someone called their provider, like, hey, I have a $6,000 bill. They say, okay, here are your two options. Turn off, switch providers immediately. Yeah. Or shut down all your power. That way, that way we can't charge you. And they're like, what? I have kids that are like in diapers and I'm free. What the fuck are you talking about? Then there is this tweet again, just to underline everything. CPS Energy was another energy provider out there. someone was asking them at some like sort of meeting. This is the question. Is CPSE, CPS Energy, going to provide payment relief to customers? And then this was their answer. We understand that it would be unacceptable to have customers bear the costs on their monthly bill. So we are working diligently to find ways to spread those costs over 10 years or longer to make it affordable.
It's a payment plan, baby.
Fuck out of here.
Also, I think we need to come up with big business and the Republican Party, I think, name deregulation, because it just takes a thing rules. Nobody likes, regulations, like makes them sound extra bureaucratic. And it's like,
no vegetables plan.
Yeah, exactly. It's the no vegetables plan. What it essentially, like, it's never a deregulation around like whether you're able to, you know, do something fun or get government benefits, or it's always deregulation around wealthy people and companies' ability to fuck you over. We need to come up with a better.
This was definitely the week, if you lived in Texas, that if you had signed up for like automatic debit of your electricity payments, you're like, oh shit, I gotta cancel this right now.
You're like, because I could lose all my money. And now, like, I think the governor has like suspended the taking of payments, but it's like, so what are you going to do after that? Like, is this just going to be like CPS Energy? You're like, don't worry, we'll spread your $40,000 bill over your lifetime. It's a new mortgage. It's like a power mortgage that you have. Isn't that cool?
Right.
Cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, the new theme song going forward needs to be this. Because that's what the fuck we need. You know, they need to go to D.C. and just be screaming this shit. Regulators! I mean, we need to fucking regulate, because this shit is out of control and people are getting the wild bill hickok because their power consumption isn't being properly vetted and regulated. So, yeah. And just to your point, Jack, about people losing their lives, like, this is why the stakes are more than just price gouging, right? There's a loss of fucking life. This 11-year-old boy, I can only imagine this can't be the only incident like this, but this is the one that gets to the news. An 11-year-old boy died because he froze to death in his family's mobile home that suddenly lost power in the middle of the night, that was heating them, that was giving them heat. And his mother woke up to her son dead in his bed, who was not previously ill, who was the first time seeing snow after, I believe, being reunited with his mother from coming from Central America. And like the night before was joyous. The power went out. Her son is dead. Her 3-year-old son that was in the bed with him survived. And what recourse do these people have? I mean, yes, they're going to sue the fuck out of the Energy Regulation Committee. But like, this is such a larger issue that it can't just be like, well, whoever has the wherewithal to get to lawyer up and sue can get justice, because all of these people that have set this energy market up have blood on their hands, and for them to be able, I mean, this is like potentially like a Flint type crisis where you have people who had the wherewithal to know that everyone had been saying for like over 10 years, like, yo, this system fragile as fuck, like, and you should, anything goes wrong, we're going to be in a bad place, didn't do anything. And like, at what point can we begin to create some responsibility? But
we're going to create a system where you can get like a low interest loan from your energy provider in order to defray the funeral costs. Right. And it's going to be great.
Right. Just put up your own life up as collateral. I mean, it's just like, that's why we don't have, you know, it's hard to say how we move forward, because if we begin to have laws that are like, yo, you can't just exploit people so you can make money, then it's going to be regulations and social. It's like, come the fuck on. You can't let people, their runaway greed, end up with loss of a life. That just has to be a common sense thing we can agree on societally.
Yeah. Line in the sand. Yeah. And I mean, Flint, which was a lot, you know, a failure by the government too. That wasn't like quickly adjudicated in any like fixed in any way. So I worry about the ability to get this actually addressed.
Well, I wonder if it'll be different because the victims are, it's less people of color and more an entire state of people. So right. There's a lot of, you know, Flint already had its own, you know, racial complications going on with why things weren't moving the way they did. But, you know, now, like, it affects all, like, many people in Texas are upset. And I just, you know, what's the fucking next step? Because I can't imagine you're going to be happy as a Texan with everyone being like, well, you know, we learned from that and we just got to be more careful, folks. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. What? The fuck? No, I know. Come on, Texans. Turn the, you know, burn your shit down. Yeah. Go to the governor's mansion.
Not your shit. Burn their shit down.
Yeah, theirs, theirs.
All right, let's take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in exactly. To what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, right. Which is different than empathy, yeah. Right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, I'm home.
Everyone knows that it's Dad's job to be a bit of a joker.
Sorry I'm late, everyone. There was an accident at the factory. Monty fell into the upholstery machine. Don't worry though, he's fully recovered.
Good one, Dad.
Did you get the pizza for dinner?
So he likes to keep everyone happy with some dad jokes.
Yep, right here. I had a coupon, and it saved me a lot of dough.
Well, the truth is, Dad is just a fun guy.
Hey, I'm not a mushroom.
Please stop. Where does he get these stupid jokes from?
He listens to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast.
Oh, great. More dad jokes for me.
We've delivered over 15,000 jokes to over 3 million listeners, and man, the postage fees are killing us. Listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Real quick, I did want to talk about Nomadland because that hit Hulu this weekend. The handful of people who I talked to, a lot of them watched it. And It's just like what the thing that I wanted to emphasize, it's really good, definitely worth watching, is like it's a post-apocalyptic movie, but it's set in America in 2012 and it's like half documentary. But like that, it's like you see there's like a lot of interplay of like generations, and like that's kind of an undercurrent throughout, like young people, and it focuses on people in their 60s, but like, you know, there's one of the guys has lost his son recently. You like meet some young people, and it's just, and then like when one of the things that she, one of her like prized possessions is like photographs of her family from before, and it's like, oh yeah, that's what things used to look like, and now she's, you know, driving around in a van with all her worldly possessions, like in the van with her.
It's like Mad Max in the world of people who put your Amazon packages in boxes.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it's she, you know, goes from job to job, and like one of the gigs that kind of grounds the series is her going back to an Amazon warehouse like around the holidays and like doing basically that gig economy work. And yeah, I don't know, it's just that there's like literal ghost towns that of like modern day ghost towns throughout the country, that like the opening Chiron of the movie talks about a community that had a mine closed down and the zip code was discontinued 6 months after the plant was closed down, which I didn't even know was a thing that could happen.
You can discontinue a zip code like a canceled show?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. That's,
and like she goes back to that town, which is where she's from, and it's just a bunch of, you know, it looks like a neighborhood except all the houses are empty. Everybody is just like out, you know. Yeah, it's wild. It's worth checking out. It seems like it's going to be Nomadland versus Trial of the Chicago 7 for best picture, according to early Gold Derby odds. And
well, we know which one's going to win that
one.
Order! Order in the court! Order! You will have order in my court. I don't know if you guys saw the movie, but yeah.
Yeah, it's you know, a mythologizing of American liberalism, like the sort of American liberal point of view.
And like changing the facts to suit like weird centrism shit. It's very, very strange in a lot of ways.
But that's like,
so that's going to win. That's your best
kind of like an American mirror, though. It's like, nah, I'm not going to look in the mirror and see it for what it is. Let me just distort myself again. I'm like, that's better. That's more like it. You
know what I mean? That's like, us.
Right.
Yeah. Do you have something that flatters the meritocracy? Okay, let me watch that movie.
I'm looking for something that will kind of take my oligarch face and make it a little more blue collar. Because I'm in a little bit of denial about my place in, you know, siphoning up resources. Okay.
But let's talk about more important things. Mm-hmm. There is a new player in the crispy, spicy chicken sandwich war.
Yeah.
And that is Taco Bell.
What? Huh?
The Sang Wars.
I was thinking outside the bun.
Well, yeah, they are, because it's no bun. The way they call it, it's a chicken tender that's been in jalapeno buttermilk. I was like, what the fuck? Ooh. It sounded awful, like reading the words together, but then I'm like, okay, right, because that's for the fried chicken. Then they roll it in tortilla chip coating, and then the thing it's in is what they just describe as puffy bread. Like, it's not even a gordita thing. They don't. It's some new shit. Chipotle sauce. I'm like, it looks good. But the thing that is interesting to me, right, is it's only available like at the beginning of March in two test markets, Charlotte, North Carolina, and Nashville, Tennessee. So to me, that says they're not fucking around with this test. They want a fucking baptism by fire. If you're pulling up with chicken, fried chicken product in those cities, that's not, you know, fucking hot chicken. That's what I think of Nashville. I don't know. I'm curious to know what the sort of logic is, or like, sort of like, if we can get these, if they fuck with it, then we're good.
It's like, well, sandwich rules are like prison rules where you just go up to the biggest guy on the yard,
right,
punch him in the nose, and that way people know that you're crazy.
Right.
Sound yeah, like yeah. Feech LaManna real quick, you know, letting them know when your first day in. I found the biggest motherfucker I could. Oh, man. Talking Sopranos again. But, yeah, I mean, I'm great. I hope it's good because, you know, Wendy's had one that did not make a lot of waves. Boston Market, poor Boston Market tried. It's almost like you shouldn't have even said anything, Boston Market. This isn't your lane. Stick to the rotisserie.
Wendy's
chicken.
Had a spicy chicken sandwich besides the standard one that they've always had?
Yeah,
they brought it back.
They had I think it was called the jalapeno popper chicken sandwich.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I was offended by the Popeyes furor because, I mean, I love a chicken sandwich, but if you're at Popeyes and you're not getting just like the regular fried chicken, like what are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, you know, to each their own. You know, I used to just be a spicy thighs kind of guy over there. But I do it all, baby. You know, I sometimes when they have the crawfish basket, baby, I sometimes get that too. Even though
even if it's actually
fish, I don't know. You know, it's like just fried protein amorphous nugs.
And that's how Miles and I actually met was we went to Reddit for spicy thighs for very different reasons. Actually.
Very different reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember I was modding that subreddit and I had to ban you because you were being a little out of pocket with your questions. How about these spicy thighs, huh?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. That guy's back again? J-O-B.
And finally, just a quick UFO update. So one thing that we have gotten a little bit more clarity on that seems to make sense to me is the... Did we talk about the jetpack guy being just a drone that looks like a person? Has like
the
a
one that went across the channel?
Tight? Yeah, that was around LAX.
Oh.
There kept being like these jetpack sightings around LAX. And
Okay. Didn't somebody legit go across the English Channel, though, on a jetpack?
The jetpack technology is real. Like the,
right, okay.
I'm seeing all sorts of video that very easily could be faked, but I'm going to choose to believe it.
Yeah, of course. We have to.
So this Airbus encountered something. It was like a fast-moving cylindrical object over New Mexico that somebody who was like basically eavesdropping on radio chatter caught. And this person who eavesdrops on radio chatter also noted that like 3 years ago to the day, two other aircraft had seen basically an identical thing. Just like flying over New Mexico far higher than should have been possible. But yeah, the UFO chatter is still out there. And
I mean,
wow. So an alien anniversary?
If it was from another planet, shouldn't their days be different? It wouldn't be the same anniversary.
yeah, exactly.
Like, they have different length days.
Yeah, that's a great point, Vince. And... I don't have an answer for you. I don't. The person was like, that looks a lot like a Scud missile, like from the Cold War, just flying through the air. But there was, it could easily just be like military, top secret military testing that they don't want anybody to know about. Yeah.
Yeah. Do it over a commercial flight path.
Right.
You know, but do it, but keep it low.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Was it, don't tell me the shit was over Roswell, right?
It was not over
okay,
Roswell.
Okay, good, because that would have been...
Because Roswell is like a dark area where you can't fly over, I think, because they do testing around there. There is a...
Oh, for real?
That was kind of one of the reasons they were suggesting it probably wasn't a military, like a...
Oh, because they have their little operation. Slice of sky.
They
to
have
fuck
their
around
place,
in.
Yeah. They, right. they And it's not that far from there, and they probably wouldn't let something... go and just like whoops that one got away from us so
come on it's like we're so close like quit edging with us aliens show yourselves
but every time you hear from like a military person who's like gone rogue they're like yeah man we are so curious what this shit is like they, don't it's not like they're like oh we can neither confirm nor deny they're like yeah it's really trippy man we actually don't know what do you guys think it is
right. I'm like, no, you saw it. You fucking tell me, man. Like,
right.
Oh, well, you know. Yeah, because it is always like people who got out of the Navy and then they're like, oh, let me write this book, y'all. Right. Oh, my goodness. If you only knew.
Well, Vince, it has been such a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist, man. Where can people find you, follow you, hear you?
Well, you can always find me at Vince Mancini on Twitter. You know, all my articles are on Uproxx. And I have two podcasts. One is about The Sopranos, and it's called Pod Yourself a Gun, which you've been a guest on.
Yeah.
And we also have The Frotcast, which is just our general movies and, you know, talking crap kind of podcast. And those are available wherever podcasts are sold.
Both great yeah. podcasts.
Matt Lieb, too, who's a friend of the show on there.
Yeah. And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
A tweeter. Well, yeah, I picked a tweet in particular, which was new for me this week. I don't know. I think it was one of those ones where you got retweeted into my timeline and I wasn't a follower and I became one. The tweet is from Whoa, It's Juanito. It's W-O-A-H, not W-H-O-A. Anyway, and the tweet is, "This show is about grief, actually." The crowd gasps, pauses for a moment to think about it, and then goes absolutely wild. Can you believe it? A show about grief? Fucking phenomenal.
Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also, the podcast 420 Day Fiance. You know, go head up on Twitch. It's Tuesday. You know, we'll be there around 420 Pacific time. Okay. The other, yeah, you know, you catch a lot of people on the Eastern. No. Pacific.
420.
A tweet that I like. I haven't been on Twitter for a while, so I don't have anything to offer just to kind of cleanse my eyes. I'm telling you, look, y'all, try going like 4 days. It feels like not being on social media. I feel like the episode of Seinfeld where they're trying to see how far they could go without putting gas in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, you're like, oh, shit, baby, we're out here. Like, we're free, baby. And I don't know how much longer. It feels dangerous, but it's okay.
There is an episode where they see how long they can go without masturbating, but there's also the gas in the car one. I just want to make clear that you're not using putting gas in the car as a masturbation euphemism. putting gas in the car, if you know what I'm saying. All right. Well, good
Banned
for you,
from
Miles.
Most gas stations.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Let's see, a couple tweets I've been enjoying. PJ Evans just tweeted, "That's my bad, Your Honor," which I think is funny to imagine someone say. Andrew Nadal tweeted, "I love Foley artists because the problem is always something like, we need the sound of footsteps, and their solution is like, what if I slapped this pool table with wet ham?" And then Adriana at Shut the Fuck Up Nell. I don't know who Nell is, _, tweeted, "How do lawyers not cry when arguing?" I don't know, but I would certainly break into tears on the regular if I were a 12-year-old
me in a fight. Yep.
Yeah.
That's your lawyer. Like, oh, shit.
Uh-oh. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song recommendation that you can go listen to on a playlist.
Or maybe on SoundCloud again, because, you know, Miles is... He's liking the remixes.
Taking you on a Jay tour
Dilla,
of the cloud.
Oh my gosh, Jay Dilla. But this remix to Donuts by Coastal, the artist Coastal on SoundCloud. Check out Coastal. This is called Donuts, but it's the Coastal conversion. And yeah, for anyone who is like, you know, a Dilla fan, this is one of those remixes that does it justice. Yeah. Bless all right.
Go check that out. We will be linking off to it in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. We will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye. Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa,
the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.